It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Happy Tuesday to you. You're listening to In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, you got Figgy Fig, and Reginald Adetula hanging out with you. How does one rebuild the confidence that CJ has seemingly missed of late? 713-572-4610 is the 5-Hour Energy fan line. I think we don't have to like make the case that CJ has kind of lost something in his play, or there's some level of, I don't know, difference from CJ when he is playing at his most confident and his highest compared to what we've seen of late. Even in the course of that Lions game, it felt like, as we were talking about with B. Scott earlier, there's kind of a dichotomy between almost a lot of the first half and seeing C.J. Stroud really operating, getting the ball out quickly, really spinning it, and some of the instances where, like, even on the interception that he throws as he was targeting Tank Dell, it was picked off by, I forgot who picked it off again, you have C.J. Stroud on a play action, and you see, you know, he sees the man come open, and he just kind of waits a beat, maybe a beat and a half, and then lets it go and doesn't even drive it in there. He kind of lost it in there. And those are types of things that you don't feel like C.J. Stroud typically has, and you could almost see him sitting there. You know, for me, I was like, what's he waiting for? Throw the ball.
Yeah.
And it feels like, is that a lack of confidence or what have you? But whatever that is that's missing, how do you go about rebuilding that, especially if you feel like the offensive line has gotten like at least a plateau of a bottom line, baseline level of play. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. But I feel like you found something with your offensive line where at least there's something that you can work with as a baseline.
You've lowered the bar, and that's what you're going to get with the offensive line. You know what's interesting about that question, though, is I don't feel like C.J. Stroud goes into any game not confident.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
I think, you know, he's just that way, you know.
Is there a better way that you can think of to describe what I feel like I'm talking about?
No, I think it's a good question. I think it's a good question, but I think it's almost like to the point of can you? Because I don't see him going into this year anyway. I don't see him going into any game thinking, oh boy, you know, I'm not, you know, or even just showing signs of not being confident or not believing in whether it's his lineman or the play call or the game plan or whatever. C.J. Stroud is wired in such a way. I mean, you know, he's the self-proclaimed killer, you know, that from the offseason podcast that he was on. You know, you're sitting next to one. I think he's a very confident guy going into every game. Here's where it gets tricky. Once he gets, you know, hit, once he gets hurried or rushed out of the pocket, I think it just becomes like a reactionary, you know, thing, and he just becomes a less confident guy. So how do you rebuild that? And does he have to be like untouched for an entire game and to get that? Because he's a confident guy. He goes into every game confident, believing in things. I'm sure of it. But once things start crumbling around him, that's the danger, because that's when he kind of gets rattled, you know?
Well, here's the thing is if the idea is that he has to be entirely untouched in order to get back to like the C.J. Stroud that is slinging in, getting the ball out quickly and finding his wide receivers, I think you're SOL.
Of course.
I don't believe that to be necessary, though, because we can look earlier on in this season where C.J. Stroud looked a lot better, and he was still dealing with some pressure, and he was still trying to find some things. And so I'm kind of surprised that on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, the YouTube, the Twitch, we did not get the easy, low-hanging fruit answer. So you know what? I'll take it for myself. Nico Collins coming back would help a good amount in this because one of the things, it felt like, and I believe, Figgy, you mentioned this yesterday, that felt like there was a real comfortable rapport between CJ and John Metchie, right? Like, it felt like you had that. But I don't know that I've seen that to a bigger degree than when he is going with Nico Collins earlier on in the season. And I wonder if just, like, the confidence that you have in Nico Collins and the strength and the speed and the ability to find space will help bring some of that up just inherently, first and foremost.
Well, I think that'll help, right? It's impossible that it doesn't. You know, get stretch the field, have Nico, have him as the outlet. You know, he's the big body guy that you can throw it up to and just believe he's going to get it. You know, that'll definitely help. But even some of those Nico games, you know, it becomes a 2-point game. It becomes, oh my gosh, they have to have a fourth quarter rally of some sort. So I think it's just, it's really interesting because I'm not trying to talk myself into saying, well, his confidence is not going to be the same until after the season and they go into a new year, a new line, whatever. Because I think what also might help is how about a nice, comfortable double-digit win? You know, one where he doesn't have to start, you know, scurrying around in the fourth quarter just to try to get, you know, get his team a victory. Like, go into Dallas and win 28-10. You know, it doesn't have to be 40 points, but, you know, just go in there and win comfortably. Maybe that could kind of help him. Like, yes, because you're right. He's never going to play a game in his life where he doesn't get hurried at least a couple times. Or hit at least a couple times. But you got to stay confident. I think part of that is a nice, comfortable win.
Right. And again, the word confidence here is kind of tough because from the 8-3-2, come on, nothing to do with his confidence. He's always confident, even if it's bad. And again, I don't feel like that's quite the right word, but you can see that something is kind of slowing down the process. And I think that some of it also is just CJ Stroud being the mature young man that he is, right? Wanting to take on responsibility, understanding the role that a quarterback typically plays on a team as a leader and all that, is trying to put a line on his shoulders. And I do wonder if some of this is like making these things a little bit simpler for him as well, right? Because you know that he's, in addition to watching these routes develop, he's also watching, you know, to see where the pressure does indeed come from on the offensive line. And does he have to do that? The first half, you saw him look a lot more like the C.J. Stroud that we're talking about that you're trying to get to. And I feel like one of the things that was done was also a lot more usage of quick passing.
Yeah.
And the sporadic when you cover, like very, very seldom when it happened, but like some screens in there as well, getting the ball out quickly to the guys in space. And I feel like that will also be helpful if you see more of that implemented in this game, in his game plan, not just in this particular game, but in the ways that the Texans run their offense.
I'm going to disagree with the texter. Okay. And I think the evidence is right in front of you. When you see C.J. Stroud retreating, and then just crumbling down, that's not a sign of a confident quarterback. He went into that game confident. When you see C.J. Stroud not stepping up in the pocket, which I know they're telling him to do, be confident enough in his line to step up in the pocket,
yeah,
and he's not doing it, that's not a sign of a confident quarterback. When he bails early, that's not a sign of a quarterback. And then the infamous play that we've talked about a number of times, C.J. Stroud makes that play 10 out of 10 times last year
to tank.
Like he comes out, boom, zips it, gets it to him, walk in, touchdown. So what he did there is not a sign of – when he has been rushed and hurried and rattled, he's lost confidence. I totally disagree.
Is the better word here from the 713, the text from the second 713, composure?
Yes, I mean that's part of it as well. But I think I like that question because I'm like, is there an answer? You know, what is the answer to all of a sudden get him for four quarters, even when he's getting hit a little bit, to still step up in the pocket, not to just retreat and collapse under pressure? You know, what is it going to take? I think it's going to take maybe that's the hidden value of playing three quote unquote winnable games in a row, that even if they're not beautiful, it's win, 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 and they're successful enough, and it's not a 2-point game, that all of a sudden he feels better going down the stretch.
Right, that you put some games under your belt, you build a level of confidence back again. One of the things that kind of made me think about this is that on Twitter, someone was kind of tweeting about the idea that not every quarterback needs to play in a Shanahan offense, and they did not feel like Stroud and Slowick were a good fit. Deontay Lee, who writes about football for The Ringer, he wrote a tweet quoting that and said, Stroud would be great in an Andy Reid tree of offense. Spread RPOs, more max and chip protections in the 5-7-step game, and allowing him to work through mesh and more college-y concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things I've been wondering about with the Bobby Slowick of it all, the Shanahan offense where you have a lot of, a lot of run expectations in the game. And I think also that in some ways leads to the run pass of this. And I do wonder, and I don't think this is something that you can shift on a dime, the entire mentality of the entire system. But I think you can shift some of the mentality towards some things that are a little bit closer to that. a little bit closer to that kind of system of offense where you're having him get the ball out a little bit quicker, have some of these like simpler, not necessarily to try and kind of denigrate CJ's capability. We know he's an incredibly smart quarterback with how he does this. But, you know, simplify it into and make the defense make some decisions like the RPOs that you get in some of those instances. I would like to see some of these things lighten the load of CJ because it feels like he's also dealing with the processing of this all in addition to trying to make sure that, you know, keep an eye out for where the line might break.
Well, that's a big ask. You know, that's a big ask to make those kind of shifts. That's an offseason thing. You know, to do those types of things.
Yeah, but I think within any offense, you can find the edges of the offense that are a little bit closer to where you're trying to be.
You can adjust, but is that still going to fix, you know, some of the pressure that he's under? When he gets under pressure, is, you know, all of a sudden he starts to rush and get out of his skin a little bit.
I don't know that you can completely get him out of that place, but I think that you can mitigate those things because CJ was showing a good ability to navigate some pressure. Mm-hmm. It's when the pressure became constant that this became an issue. And I think that there might be some instances and some things that you can do offensively to mitigate some of those pressures with the way that the offense is. But that's going to require, I don't think a scheme change, but maybe a scheme tweak.
Sort of a tweak might be the best you can ask for right now. And let's just be honest, you know, you get hit more than any other quarterback in the NFL.
That'll do something.
That doesn't matter who you are.
So maybe it's just block it up. Is that what we're doing here? Just block it up.
I mean, that's the gist of it. You know, that's at the core of it is block better, be better. You know, don't stink. That's the gist of it. But it's not that simple. And so it comes down to giving Bobby Slowick maybe, you know, the combination of what you're talking about, giving him some plays that can work quicker and better, maybe more on the edges, but you still got to block it up. I mean, you still got to have guys that are going to get it done up front, or else you're just going to continue to be rattled. That's the biggest danger right now that the Texans are in.
Correct.
Are facing.
Correct.
Are you don't want to lose C.J. Stroud.
And I think that might be a little, it might sound a little alarmist, and I don't know that you lose C.J. Stroud, but do you lose the fullness of CJ Stroud? Are you losing bits around the edges? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about. Like, are you getting the fullness of CJ Stroud? And it feels like in watching that game, particularly against the Lions, but even before that, mm-hmm. you see some of the ways in which CJ Stroud typically makes that play or typically gets the most out of that play. And those are the portions that you don't want to take a extravagant young player and make him any closer to an average player. In any way, shape, or form, you want to get the fullness of that because that's the beauty and the benefit of having that guy.
And that's why the Detroit game to me is probably the most alarming. And the reason is he was humming.
Yes.
Like he was humming in the first half, getting a little better protection, making throws, boom, 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 down the field. I know they settled for a couple of field goals and you would have hoped for more there, but he was humming. There was no reason for him to not have confidence going into the second half. And then he started getting hit. He threw a pick and then he started getting hit. And sacked and rushed, and it turned like that. That to me was the most alarming game because CJ last year, he would have just bounced back from that interception and continued to be confident. But as soon as things started turning bad, it flipped. And that was worrying. You know, that tells you that things are in his head when they start to go bad.
I mean, this has been the hope all the way around. Yeah. Where you hope that, you know, this offense and Bobby Slowick and the somewhat improved mm-hmm. line play will continue to get better into a place where you don't see a sliding back CJ Stroud because people have felt confident enough to say, oh, well, there's a sophomore slump. And we know that that's not the case.
Yeah.
But regardless, the numbers, even though they're relatively close, they're still a clear dip from year one, and mm-hmm. you don't want that to remain the case.
Yeah.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Tuesday. Coming up next, it's about that time where we turn it over to Figgy for the mixtape. What we got?
Yeah, man, we had some dry play-by-play that happened this weekend. I'm going to play that call. Plus, Pimp C gave some advice to Kirk Herbstreit.
Okay.
Can't wait to play that. And a new Christmas movie based on a true story. And that story's still going on to this day.
Oh, wow. It's a full mixtape. We'll get to that next. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. T-Mobile.com.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. Hopefully you having a good day. And I want to start this off real quick. I think I'm becoming a fan of just bad PBP calls, man.
Oh, really?
I like
everybody's a fan of that.
Yeah, I just like, to me, I know people was complaining about Al Michaels last year. I didn't really hear that complaint this year as much, but last year for sure. Mm-hmm. You got Bob Costas in the playoffs, a lot of the dry calls. And our next victim is somebody I actually enjoy a lot, but Gus Johnson.
Oh yeah.
He had a poor call.
It feels impossible because just Gus Johnson always feels like he is just over the top.
You think?
Oh, it's very. can't wait to hear for y'all to hear this one because I couldn't believe it, man. I'm like, dang, do we have is he part of the coaching staff for Purdue or something? Like, what in the world is going on? Am I listening to the Purdue call?
Yeah.
The radio call for Purdue? But this was Ohio State and Purdue. And Ohio State just kind of ran through them. Mm-hmm. This was a fumble recovery, turned into a touchdown. And this is how that call sound, courtesy of Gus Johnson.
First down to the 25 for Purdue. And a fumble on the play. Ohio State is there. They pick it up and run it in for a touchdown. Jack Sawyer. Tough day for the Broilers. Tough season for the Broilers.
It sounded like a golf call, man.
It sounded like what Al Michaels was doing last year.
It was not that bad. It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that good.
Wait. The play, Ohio State is there. They pick it up and run it in for a touchdown. Jack Sawyer.
Why was he so sad?
He couldn't
right
even
there?
Fake the funk in that moment.
No, he could not. And that, keep in mind, that's Gus Johnson.
Yes.
That's Mr. Hollywood. Remember that?
Yeah.
All right. So this fumble return touchdown happens in the third quarter, right?
It was already, I want to say it was like 31-0 already.
Yeah. That made it 38-0.
Yeah.
And so, look, man, the game is gone, first and foremost. I don't even know at that point he needs to, like, if he could sell what's happening here. And you know what might be happening? That man might have been ready to get out there.
He got
and go.
1 foot out the door.
Yeah. He was ready to go get to get him a drink.
Hey, he probably was kind of, I don't want to say pissed, but he probably like, man, I got to call this game. Purdue suck.
Yeah.
They ain't having a good season.
But you know what?
It's going to be a blowout.
Shouldn't do it. I don't care. Shouldn't do it.
No, that's fair.
And by the way, he's also from Detroit, so.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Might be a little Michigan.
But he had a little jelly.
Yeah, but then you'd be excited about Purdue getting stunned on, right? Or I guess Ohio State. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
But he had some okay calls earlier that game.
Yeah.
Where he was just like, Jeremiah Smith, touchdown.
Yeah, I don't think Gus doesn't doesn't seem like he doesn't dial it up for Ohio State, you know, because he did that Maserati Marv.
Oh,
He leans into it.
Yeah.
I feel like he's
for some reason. I don't know what was going on, but
and a fumble on the play. Ohio State is there. They pick it up and run it in for a touchdown.
Okay,
Jack
Al.
Sawyer.
Okay, Al.
My man was done.
He was out.
Like, he could at least been like, fumble, another fumble or something. He was just totally out of it.
We have insight from our gambling expert here at Sports Radio 610. He hosts the host of Payne and Pendergast, mm-hmm. Sean Pendergast himself, texted in that the spread was 37.5. So maybe.
Oh, that's it then.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Maybe that's when it crossed the threshold. Ding, ding.
Which is, again, a lot like Al Michaels.
That might have been when it crossed the threshold into not making money.
I think now we know what they have in common.
So he was disappointed. Yeah. He was disappointed. Or maybe he had, disappointed in the Boilermakers, disappointed in Ohio State for messing up the ticket. I don't know.
God dog it.
There goes that girl.
Speaking of college football, Kerb Herbstreit, we talked about it last week. He lost his dog, Ben. And I think he battling cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was really emotional on Saturday on the set.
Oh, with Ben?
Yeah.
Oh, great tribute they did.
Yeah, it was a wonderful tribute.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I know how it feels to lose a dog. Lopez know how it feels to lose a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And Pimp C, rest in peace to Pimp C. But I think he got some good advice for Kurt Herbstreit when it comes to dogs or even getting mm-hmm. like a pet like that.
Hey, man, you know what, man? F*** a pet, man. You know why I'm making them hoes die, man, and I be sad to the motherfucker. Hell no, man. I'm going to give me some fish. I got a fish tank in my new house. I'm finna get some fish. You know what I'm talking about? Because, hey, man, I can't tell you, man. My motherfucking dog died, and I be sad to the motherfucker.
He not wrong.
Yeah. Hey, that's the first person I thought about. Every time somebody dog pass away and it's like a big deal, that's the first person I think about. I'm like, man, I ain't getting no more dogs, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some fish.
Some fish.
I'm going to get some fish.
Fish don't be tearing you up when they go, man. You just get you some more fish.
Yeah, but would you wouldn't trade it for the world, would you, Figgy?
I wouldn't, but see,
no one would.
But see, the thing is, like, it's cool to have that pet, but when it, you know, it's gonna pass away.
Exactly.
But that's life, and man. That, like, yeah. good, they don't live long. Good things aren't forever.
Yeah, but dogs don't live. That's their one flaw. They only have one flaw. That's it. They only have one.
Yeah,
that's the only one.
Dogs only have one flaw. Everything else is perfect.
That's the tough part.
Not you having to pick up. Anyways.
No. Yeah. They feel bad about it.
And see, right now I'm
still.
They do.
Are you sure?
And see, right now, you know, I'm holding Jackson hostage right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm fine with that. But if it wasn't for that, man, I'm like, man, I don't want to go through another dog death, man.
Oh, it hurts, man.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I could. Like, if the little girl decided to take Jackson,
mm-hmm.
I will probably never look at another dog, man.
Yeah, you got to.
I can't go through that death again, man. That was tough.
Yeah, you got to heed the advice of Chad Butler.
Yeah.
The late Chad Butler.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get some fish.
Get you some fish.
So, we got a new Christmas movie coming up, man.
And oh, is this the one that's being advertised right now?
Yeah, this is based on a look like a true story, and this story is still going on because this couple is still together. So I'm gonna play the trailer for you, and I want y'all to guess to see who they could be talking about.
You should ask her out.
I got whatever chance with her. I'm Drew. Her big fan.
Am I supposed to know who he is?
She's the best receiver in the world.
Get his number.
It's her!
I want to see you again.
Seen her in a movie.
Like regular people.
Like regular people, huh?
Don't screw this up. I promise not to fall in love with you.
And I promise not to fall in love with you.
The more I'm with you, the more I really like you.
I'm just with you for your fantastic body.
I know we're trying to keep this a secret, but I don't know if I can keep this up.
It was nice to feel like a normal girl dating a normal guy. Neither of you are normal.
I don't care who's watching. A million people or nobody. Are we doing this?
Let's freaking go.
Let's freaking go!
Christmas in the Spotlight premieres Saturday, November 23rd at 8. Part of It's a Wonderful Lifetime.
Oh, a Lifetime movie. I was about to say, I was like, who? What entity was like, you know what we got to do? Make the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift movie.
Exactly, man. So they pretty much doing the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift Christmas movie.
Well, that's the right demographic. Because I was wondering, I was like, who is doing this? Is this like a Tubi movie? But I was like, who on Tubi watching this?
It'll be on Hallmark in an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. it'll start on Lifetime. It'll rerun on Hallmark.
It's 100%. Not even good enough for Lifetime.
Well,
by the way, I just read it's Hallmark movie season.
Is Jan a Hallmark movie person?
She's really not that bad.
Well, you're good. You're good in the house.
It'll be on, and my daughter, when she comes, I'm like,
oh, so your daughter is. That's tough.
Gosh.
Yeah. Are you watching this? Do you plan on watching this?
Hell no, but it's going to be on. Like, I'll be walking through the room with covering the one side of my face so I don't have to look at it.
You should watch it and give a review on it.
I can give you the review right now.
See how accurate it is, though.
Big city girl takes over this antique shop, a bookstore. A big city girl takes over a bookstore in a small town.
It's actually a bakery. It's a bakery.
And there's the repairman who has to do some upgrades the shop.
He's actually a plumber.
Boy, he's got that flannel shirt and really down to earth. And all of a sudden, they hate each other. And they only talk to each other. And then all of a sudden, they get back and they realize that, there's a little fire here. All of a sudden, I got to move back to the city. No, you don't.
After 3 days.
Movie. Yeah.
And then shifted the whole life.
There's your review.
Hey, man, you got to review this one.
I just did.
This one different because she's a sing. She's a bit time singer. Yeah. And he's a bit time football player.
Yeah.
So we got to see if it's accurate
with,
or not.
The problem with reviewing it is I would have to watch it.
Oh, you're going
to
watch it. You just said it. It's going to be on. I think that they're, like, when you look at the Venn diagram of listeners to sports talk radio and folks that will actually watch that Lifetime film willingly, I'll add that caveat. Like, yeah, 3%, over under 3% is where I was going with. Because I just feel like a lot of sports talk fans are just sick of this.
Yeah,
they're sick of that particular relationship, even though like it ends up being one of those ones that continually is put on TV.
Yeah.
A lot of people just seem sick of it. And I feel like the people that were just like, it's fine, it doesn't matter, I'm here to watch football, they're not going to go seek out other media about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's kind of interesting that they actually making a movie out of this a little bit. Like, I get a kick out. To me, one of my favorite shows is Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever something juicy or something, some type of legal stuff happened in real life, I'll be hoping Law and Order just make an episode. I'm waiting on the Deshaun Watson
Law and Order episode.
Case. Yeah, I'm waiting on the Deshaun Watson Law and Order case.
And then the little disclaimer that any resemblance that it may share to something in real life is completely coincidence. No, it's not. You know what you're doing, Law and Order. I see you, Dick Wolf.
I'm waiting on that episode.
Is Dick Wolf still with us?
Yeah, he is.
I know that still
making shows too.
Yeah.
But I'm just waiting on that Law and Order episode where this star football player get accused of 25 different women, and I'm just waiting on that episode.
Oh, and by the way, the big city girl ends up moving back to the small town.
Was gonna tear me up if I didn't know what the end was.
Come on, man, you just spoiled it for me, man.
I spoiled every Hallmark movie.
Oh man, come on, man. You just lost the list.
Oh man, look at the folks on the text line from the 346. My mother-in-law, sister-in-law, wife, and wife's grandma, they record them and watch it. Oh my god,
that's even worse.
Oh no.
Hey, that look, I understand if you have it on in the background during the Christmas times, ain't nobody watching it or something, but grandma or something, but nah, man, you can't record it and go back to it, man.
The 346 got a good point. As soon as you see that Hallmark logo in the corner, turn around. Turn around.
Wait, is that also because if you watch a little bit, you're going to get hooked? Is that what you're talking about there?
I think that is. Because
you'll just be curious. What's happening
even
here?
Even though Lopez spoiled it, you do kind of wait to see how it ends. And it's just like, that's the same ending. And like, all right, this was ridiculous.
Yeah, why was I here?
Yeah.
Is there another storyline in the NFL of late that you would actually want to see made into a movie as opposed to like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce?
Bill Belichick and his new girl? Now that's a Hallmark movie.
Nah, that's like Hitch, isn't it? Like, what are we doing there? Like,
That might be pay-per-view.
That might be Dirty Grandpa.
Yeah,
right.
All right, I'm going to get you out of here on this. So, are y'all familiar with the term like that?
Yeah.
How people just be like,
They're not like that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, sort of. So we kind of use that term in a different way. Like, I don't know I'm like that.
Yeah.
I want to see if you kind of understand this term or if you even use this term. So this is Tony Rock, who was Chris Rock's brother. He kind of gave a funny explanation on the term like that and how black folks use it.
Okay.
This is the blackest in the world, like that. Like that is the barometer that all black people judge other black people by. Like that. And everybody not like that. White people like what? Everybody not like that. Sometimes you know a dude, but you don't know him like that. You might even f*** with a dude. You like, I f*** with him, but I don't f*** with him like that. Person in here right now, that made perfect sense. Every white person, like what?
Do that make sense to everybody?
Of course. Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like Tony Rock doing his thing. I saw that clip I think yesterday, funny enough. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the humor. It does it is kind of like harkening back a little bit. I feel like the comedy sphere has moved a little bit away from black people do this, white people do that. But I appreciate it. It was a nice little nostalgic kind of comedic bit.
Tony Rock is one of those underrated comedians.
Absolutely.
And underappreciated because obviously people go to his brother Chris Rock. But
right.
Look, Tony Rock get it out the mud, man.
Yeah. He's been doing it for a while. Yeah. The brothers of comedians are always an interesting space because, like, obviously, rest in peace to Charlie Murphy.
Charlie.
Well, Charlie, yeah, that he had some funny stuff just in a different space than obviously Eddie.
Yeah, so salute to Tony Rock, man. So I heard that, I'm like, dang, is this
universal?
Do we understand that term like that?
Like that. 713 said Hallmark movies are why you need a TV in the bedroom, God forbid. And Fig, actually, this is one that helps you out. 832, they already did an episode on Law and Order, very similar to Deshaun's case. Honestly, at this point, with as many seasons of Law and Order as there are out there, I wouldn't be surprised.
They probably had an episode like that before Deshaun Watson got in that mess.
Yeah, probably did.
They foretold the legend of
2016. They had an episode like that.
281, Kirk Cousins. How you like that?
Yeah. Oh, that's a different one.
That's definitely different. I don't think he meant that in the exact same way.
Yeah.
There you go. Figgy's Mixtape, 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, we get ready to hand it off to the fellas. To drive, but before we get there, just how much do you get from the possible return of Nico Collins to this offense? We'll talk about it next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop on Sports Radio 610. You heard Big Voice, man. You got John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you all Tuesday. Hope you've had a good one. Getting ready to hand off to the fellas of the drive, Clint, Ron, and T-Mill, all getting ready to take you through your afternoon. And they'll, early on in their program, take live D'Amico Ryans' first, talking during the course of this week after the Lions game. And of course, as you gear up for week 11 on Monday Night Football versus the Dallas Cowboys. So yeah, 2:30. That's the programming note there about where you will hear from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans.
What do you think the tenor of that is going to be?
That's a really good question.
What do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be, we all have to be better? Because that's getting a little, well, it is, right? It's a little old.
Yeah, but D'Amico don't care about that.
No, he doesn't care about that. Do you think it's going to be post-game from the Jets, D'Amico Ryans? More to the point, more adamant about things that need to happen, things that could happen. Or is it gonna be
just some stuff you gotta clean up?
Stuff we gotta clean up. We all gotta get better.
Yep.
It's all of us.
We gotta clean some stuff up.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah, and I am as well. I think we'll get some insight into it listening to the drive here in just under an hour when they get D'Amico Ryans live for talking to the media at 2:30. Some other players there's been player availability that have been talking a little bit earlier today. We'll hear a little bit from there. Actually, let's hear a little bit from John Metchie, who was one of the bright spots in this game. There was quite a few bright spots. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you need those if you're going to go up 23-7 on a team. Don't talk about the other things.
Yeah, well.
But yeah, we could just stop there, John. I saw it in your eyes that you wanted to bring up other things. It's not necessary, okay?
Okay. We all know.
But, I mean, I know that you also don't feel great about having not stayed on the John Metchie bandwagon as he put up a good performance. He was talking, and this is Metchie 5 here, about his performance, his breakout game versus the Lions.
I mean, you could say it like that. I think it's just, do you do your job when your name is called, right? I think that's it. Like, are you ready to get your job done when the opportunity presents itself, right? I don't think I did anything super spectacular aside from doing my job, honestly. Being where I was supposed to be, making the plays I was supposed to make and stuff. So, yeah, you could say that.
So he doesn't even view it necessarily as like a breakout. He's just saying, man, this is an opportunity to do that, which I imagine, like, confidence wise,
that's what they say,
is very much what a player would be. Cause like a player's like, no, I could always do this. I just got the opportunity. But that's also, as you mentioned, that's been their mantra. That's been the talking point, for lack of a better term, is just, we don't need you to do anything special. Step up and do your job. And in that instance, his job was to catch those footballs as best as ability.
Yeah, but we all know. I mean, it had to have felt really, really good to actually put it on paper, to actually put it on film that he could be that guy. And it got me thinking, of all things, about Nico Collins.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really did. Like, Nico comes back. We know Stephon's not coming back.
No.
So you're going to have, tank things more consistently. Sure be nice to have another guy, and maybe that's the other guy.
But yeah, that was the question that I kind of asked and that we were asking ourselves, is that What do you get with the potential return of Nico Collins? And I guess let's start here. Do you feel confident that Nico Collins plays on Monday night? Because, I mean, he was designated for return on Friday. He gets out there on what is admittedly a lighter practice on Friday.
No.
But he's dancing. He's, you know, showing that all of that that jubilation and such. But then he is, you know, not made available for this game versus the Lions. And I understand he's been dealing with the hamstring. That can be kind of a tricky injury. Do you feel confident that he plays on Monday? I mean, and it's real early. I'm not giving you the benefit. I want to make it known. I'm not giving him the benefit of all these practices that will give us a lot more insight into it this week.
No, I was going to give you a very definitive and authoritative, I don't know.
Very good. Well done.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I said this yesterday, it's kind of hard to buy into Friday practice reports anymore. Actually, the days are pushed back this week.
Because today's their Monday.
So tomorrow's their off day. So really, Thursday, Friday practices are going to be more important than Saturdays. Because if he can, he didn't practice Tuesday, Wednesday last. I know this is confusing. But Wednesday, Thursday last week, and then was out on Friday. Or no, I had that backwards.
Yeah, he practiced on Friday.
He practiced on Friday.
That was when we got a little bit of hope. It was like, designated for return.
Yeah, and you're thinking, okay. But now, who knows? My gut doesn't even tell me anything at this point. I would guess. Remember, he was dancing on Friday.
That is the vivid image that everybody has, because we were all excited about the starkness of the reveal that he was designated for return. Because after Thursday, we were looking at it like, did not practice these 2 days. It feels like he's not going to go.
And then he's out there going.
And then they designated for return. He's practicing on Friday, and it felt like that was like, ooh, maybe that means that they're gearing him up for that, and there's a possibility. He did not play, and I mean, we might need to get more into it tomorrow as well. But like, what do you anticipate the Texans get from the return of Nico Collins? Because it's easy to talk about Nico Collins returning, but like, what are you thinking of when it comes to what comes back? Because I know for me, one of the things I thought of, and you had one play, I think it was the touchdown play, where Robert Woods sets the edge really well, but there was quite a few tosses in this game, and I know Bobby Slowick kept going to it, and that's another thing in and of itself, but you couldn't set the edge. And there were some times where I was like, I wonder if just having someone like Nico Collins, big, strong dude who is pretty damn good in the blocking game as well, setting that edge on a crack block and then allowing him to get on the outside.
Yeah.
I do wonder if even that, outside of like just the raw 100-yard games that you get from him, is something that you bring back.
No, I think you hit it right on the head. Nico Collins, and it's sort of like a weird place, because I think he's clearly their best blocking receiver. But he's also their best receiver. So, you have to balance that at some point. That's one of the flaws that this receiving corps has had really all year, even with Stephon here. You know, the best blocking receiver was Nico Collins, and Stephon was you get what you can. Tank Dell, you don't want to put him in too many of those situations, but you get what you can. Xavier Hutchinson wasn't on the field a lot. Like, they were in a bad spot in terms of blocking when it comes to receivers really all season. So when Nico comes back, even just that makes him better. His blocking.
Yeah.
Forget what he can do otherwise.
Right. I think that's a big thing when it comes to it. Another dude who is incredible in the quick passing game, right? I feel like the only player that I can think of, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm trying to do a cursory search of my own mental memory here. I guess all your memory is mental, whatever. But the idea that he might be the only dude, or he's clearly the best dude to be able to actually execute screens with. Get the ball to him quickly, let him go in space, and then even like you talk about quick game, like slants and these types of things, great with his body protecting the football.
Yeah.
I think that those are also things that you get back and that you can elevate with, and we already talked about it. I think that those are things that might be helpful, and they seemed helpful in using them in the first half, getting the ball out quickly for someone like Mechie, who seemed like, oh, Mechie has a little bit of that, using his body to protect the football to come up with a slant. That you've been kind of desiring, but it's not on the same level of Nico. I think that having those and having somebody that CJ trusts to also give them that opportunity in those 50-50 situations, the guy that CJ is like, oh, I give him the benefit of the doubt because I believe him to come down with the football, I think that would be huge for this team.
I think having the game that Mechie had, and they do this a lot in this offense, sort of the layered routes, the two levels or whatever, I think gives you a little bit of a threat there too. It's nothing but good that he's back. It's really going to be good for the run game. And I think in the pass game as well, if you get something out of Mechie like you got, and then Tank Dell, you'll be kind of back onto something, that you had with Stephon.
plus, and I think this might be the most obvious thing, if you do and get indeed get Nico back for Monday's game, is just that's a dude that a defense has to has the game plan for. That's a dude that defenses slide their defense over to anticipate. And so I wonder, do you get even more out of a John Metchie? Do you get even more out of a Tank Dell? Do you get even more out of a Dalton Schultz just by the basic thing of Nico Collins being on the field and generating that and drawing that attention?
Yeah. No, I think you absolutely could. By the way, from the 832, hey, Joe Mixon was dancing before he was scratched as well. Yeah, no.
So clearly the dancing is the issue, obviously.
That's what I'm saying. You can't trust a Friday injury report anymore. And that's kind of what I was saying. So who knows?
All right, welcoming in the homie, dressed up like a Jayhawk, even though I don't think those things are real, is our guy.
Dressed up like who?
Like a Jayhawk. Like the bird on your hat right now is Ron Hughley. You don't got your mic on, though, so I just want to make sure. I was like, you just talking to me right now, which is fine. I'm cool talking all day long.
I just can't have a personal conversation with my guy, man.
Not while we at work. Well, I'm not right here at work.
Like,
while
literally working.
Oh, yeah, while we're actively working.
It's all the same to me, baby.
Hey, man, for you, like, we were just talking about the idea of, well, one, do we feel confident Nico Collins will come back? Now, of course, we've got time to figure that out, but what is this team getting back in Nico Collins? Because it's easy to not think necessarily just about the actual physical, tangible things that you get when he returns.
We're gonna talk about this a little bit later on.
Very
but
good.
I want to be honest with you.
Very good.
There's a part of me that's a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
A little nervous. And there's a part of me that's almost scared about him coming back.
Because of aggravation?
No.
Ooh, that sounds like a tease. Like, I don't
know. That's a tease.
I feel like I want to just let that be right there.
No, I'm going to give it away right now.
Okay.
We'll talk about it later. It'll be a completely different audience listening. But what if he don't solve it?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there's the weight of like, all right, hey, all right, you got Nico, which is legit. Nico Collins, real quick, is still 18th. 3 or 4 yards behind, tied for 16th in receiving yards in the NFL.
Well, Ron, he ain't played in 5 weeks.
Nobody on the Chiefs is ahead of him.
Yeah.
In terms of receiving yards, crazy to where he is. He was playing like not just the best receiver, arguably the best behind like Saquon and Derek, one of the best weapons in all of football. So you get him back, but like the secret is, they're only averaging 19.7
well, see,
points a game.
I put it a different way earlier, Ron.
And they've averaged 24 in the five
said,
games.
The way
been
I
out.
Put it, even with Nico, they were playing 2-point games.
Yeah, averaging a shade under 20 points.
Yeah.
In those four full games that
like
he played.
Problem solved.
That's
you know
just
what I mean?
That's the only thing that makes me I know it has to be better.
Yeah.
This is a more shakier CJ than he last played with. This offensive line, I feel like, is feeling even more pressure and in shambles. There's no digs to you know, there's going to be a lot of. That's just my only thing is I want to see him play. God knows it. I've about had it with Xavier. I want to see him play. And nothing against you, Xavier. I just want I want to see him play. But that's the only part of what if he did?
Yeah.
So
that's a little tease for you. You got that coming up on the drive.
Let me break you, boys.
Yes, sir.
If the Texans can just play the level of football that they played Sunday night against the Detroit Lions, they'll win 11 games.
They'll win 11 games.
It ain't enough to beat Baltimore. It ain't enough to beat Kansas City. It's not enough to beat Detroit. It's not enough to beat Green Bay. But you can beat the Cowboys.
Yeah.
You can beat the Titans twice.
Mm-hmm.
You can beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Depending on what Dolphins team shows up, that's good enough to beat the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
That's with or without Nico. So the fear is not, will it be better? The fear is do you scrape by the most scraps you got left on the schedule and then you get to the playoffs?
All of a sudden.
Yeah.
It's the product that is Houston Texans football.
Yeah.
I think you can muck your way to 5 more wins, to be honest with you. Not that they will, but you can.
Yeah.
The key is when they get past 17 games, are we sitting here going, these guys can make a run to the Super Bowl? Or are we going, look out at home against whoever's coming down here?
Yeah.
Baltimore.
Yeah. All right, fellas. We're done in the loop.
Time to hand it off to these fine guys. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.